This podcast is part of the Self Defense Radio Network.
Hi, this is Derek from Atlanta. Unlike Bob, I am a former law enforcement officer, but I still enjoy listening to a practical show by a practical guy. You're listening to the Handgun World Podcast.
Hi folks, Bob Main here. Welcome to the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. This episode is brought to you by Concealment Solutions, one of the official sponsors of this show, makers of very fine concealment holsters. As a matter of fact, today I'm wearing a Cobra outside the waistband holster to carry my Glock 43. Carrying a Glock 43 because I'm going on some business appointments and want to keep my concealed carry pretty discreet. Jason is also working on a custom holster for me, and if this custom holster is everything that I think it's going to be, then it'll be available to you, the listener, on a pretty cool Handgun World special. But check out his website, concealmentsolutions.com, concealmentsolutions.com, 10% off if you use the coupon code HANDGUNWORLD. There are a lot of organizations out there that are trying to advance gun rights. Some of them are well known, and some of them are not really well known. And there's one that I had a chance to, you know, investigate and take a look at, and I'm pretty impressed. Black Guns Matter. Black Guns Matter. Maj Toure of Black Guns Matter. He has been on several other podcasts and radio shows before. And after listening to a few of his interviews, I decided that his movement was very worthwhile to talk about here on the Handgun World podcast, and he's becoming very rapidly well-known out there. Most of us know the inner cities are a source of a lot of violence right now, and many of the people in the inner cities need the protection just as much as any of us who do not live in the inner cities. They're Americans, too, and they have constitutional rights as well. Unfortunately, the system of education on firearms in the inner cities has not been very good, and Maj Toure is doing a great job with Black Guns Matter of being able to bring the necessary information to the people who live in the inner cities. And so you're going to hear my interview with him coming up real soon. If you have to use your gun in self-defense, there are two fights that you're going to have to win. The first fight's the gun fight. The second fight is the legal fight afterwards to clear your good name. You know, Paul Lathrop at the Polite Society podcast, who interviewed with me in episode 381, he told his story, how it cost him $12,500 just to get his defense started, and he asked a great question. Can you just write a check right now for $12,500 to get your defense started if you have to use your gun? The Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network can help you out with that. Please support the Self-Defense Radio Network. If you sign up for an ACLDN membership, the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network, please use the tracking code PAUL. That will let them know that we're sending them traffic, and it'll also generate some benefit for the Self-Defense Network because we are an affiliate of the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. So again, the tracking code is PAUL. Their website is armedcitizensnetwork.org. armedcitizensnetwork.org. So as I'm cruising in the Handgun World mobile studio, the rental Handgun World mobile studio, as I'm cruising, I'm going to go ahead and shut off my recorder right now. I'm going to turn on the interview with Maj Toure of Black Guns Matter, let you listen to it while I go to my sales call, and then I'll be right back. I got a whole lot more comments after the interview. Well, my special guest for this episode is Maj Toure of Black Guns Matter. Welcome to the show, Maj.
Hey, welcome, Bob. Thank you for having me.
Well, you're very welcome. I've heard you on some other podcasts, most specifically Gun Freedom Radio, and I heard you with Cam Edwards on NRA, and I really like what you're doing. It's good stuff.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, the name of your organization is Black Guns Matter, mm-hmm. correct?
Yep.
And you know, that's such a cool name. It's a great takeoff on the obvious, and you know, so many of us have black guns. That's kind of cool.
Right, and that's the double entendre there because, you know, a lot of people think it's about race or whatever, but really I like Glocks. I'm a Glock man myself, and, you know, obviously Glocks are black. I mean, unless you customize them, but, yes, yeah, it's a good, you know, conversation starter to get people, well, what is that about when I'm walking around with the hoodie? People say, well, what is that? Well, we're an organization. It's a great conversation starter if the person's open-minded.
Yeah, I'm a Glock guy too, and I have been for several years, so we've got something in common there.
No doubt, no doubt.
Well, I'll go ahead and kind of introduce you a little bit, and then if you want to expand on it, I have some different questions than some of the other people have asked you, but if I'm not mistaken, Black Guns Matter opens up people's minds basically in the inner city about the Second Amendment, right?
Absolutely, because the inner city areas, there's a thorough lack of information about Second Amendment rights, firearm training, and safety, most importantly, safety. You know, that's why we have situations where, you know, it's a lot of reckless people leaving their firearms unsecured, children gaining access to them and all of that. So we have a holistic approach at Black Guns Matter to inform inner city urban areas, you know, about those things. And we're seeing great progress.
Now, your home urban area is Philadelphia, right?
Yes.
Okay, but you're taking this all over the country.
Yeah, right now we're in the middle, well, the beginning phase of the Black Guns Matter firearm tour. We're hitting 13 cities. We're taking that information. We're getting the community involved where they can link up with reputable, you know, trainers, instructors, educators in their neighborhood so they can foster those relationships and blossom from there. You know, they can constantly stay in contact with us. But it's more beneficial for them to have a immediate local person that's trustworthy, that's reputable, that's going to continue their progress.
That's very important, and I really like that you're bringing safety concepts to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, it needs to be because, I mean, in Philadelphia this summer alone, you know, we've had two or three, you know, children gain access to firearms. And whether they're legal or illegal, because the honesty is, you know, there's a lot of illegal firearms in a lot of different areas across America, not just the urban areas. However, everybody will agree that, you know, children, you know, firearms need to be secure from children. They more than anyone need to, you know, learn respect for the tool first, but you can't do that by, you know, leaving it around. So we basically start there, you know, and that's a critical component, you know, to our training.
Sure it is. Well, here's some questions that I haven't heard people ask you on some of the other shows. First of all, are you getting any kind of pushback from the inner city community about your movement?
No, not at all. We get mostly love.
Good.
Because the demographic that we're in, they understand once someone's unaware of something and then you share it with them, they become open because they see it's practical. It has value to their life, you know, and learning about firearms, learning about safety, linking them up with, you know, certified instructors across the country, you know, or in their locality, it puts them on a path, you know. So for the community itself, even a person that may not be, you know, familiar with firearms, because most of our people are, you know, beginners. When they see that information and when they see, hey, I never was exposed to this, and there's other demographics that have it, and you already have a firearms, a cultural American staple. So you already have a liking for firearms, most people, you know. So when you couple that up with good information, you know, it's a slam dunk. So no, we definitely don't get pushback. We get support. People just want to know how they can support. And actually, more than anything, we get, you know, when are you coming to my city, you know?
Oh, well, that's good. I was wondering if you get any pushback because don't some folks in the inner city, haven't they been, you know, sold a lie for a long time that guns are bad? Don't they have that attitude at all or not?
Well, most Americans have been sold that lie, and it's a double-forked lie because the reality is, if guns were that bad, you know, they wouldn't have been, they wouldn't be so prominently displayed in Hollywood. They wouldn't be, you know, the John Wick movies of the world, and the, you know, these different movies, the Matrix's trilogies, and all of those different things. Those are tools. So yes, the entire general public in America, general public, has been duped, has been fed a lie. You know, politicians do it all the time. They say, oh, more gun control, more gun control. And they're actually a small minority. You know, they just have a lot of power. But, you know, at the same time, those same politicians are walking around with armed details. So, yeah. You know, so it's that right there is a blatant exposure of the contradiction, you know. So, yeah, we just not going to accept it. We know that this is happening. We know the contradictions exist. You know, and we're going to expose it to the maximum degree, and at the same time, inform the people that want to be informed, and you know, and educate people, and at least put them on that path. And if they choose to continue on that path, they have, you know, support in us and, you know, other organizations. And if they choose not to, that's their right. That's the beauty of, you know, this whole, you know, freedom thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you call it a contradiction. I call it hypocritical.
Absolutely. It is totally hypocritical.
Yeah. But I'm glad that you're providing support for the people, because you said that they're new to firearms. And I think one of the big problems, not just with your constituents, but nationwide, is when people get into firearms, there's nobody to coach them and teach them some of the things that they should know. So I'm glad you're doing that.
Right. It's very critical, because I'm more of a conduit. I know that I can speak the language that our demographic understands. You know, for example, some of my homies, you know, they're law enforcement, they're white guys. You know, we don't have the best standing relationship with law enforcement right now, but, you know, specifically. And it's a trust factor. You know, there's some things that's happening in the urban communities that, you know, my homies, there's law enforcement. I know those individual guys may be great officers, but there's some guys just mishandling, you know, the urban demographic. So that trust factor is there. So they're not going to listen to somebody that doesn't speak the language or from where they're from. Me being the person that can translate concepts, as well as, you know, being a staple in my hood, especially, you know, that there's an authenticity that you can't fake. And if they don't feel that, it's okay. I'm not going that direction. You have to, you know, be willing to trust the person that's putting you on a path for something so serious. Your Second Amendment right and your firearm knowledge and training, you know, is serious. So even if I'm not individually training them, the people that we link them with have to have been thoroughly vetted, because I'm putting our reputation on the line every time I lean somebody a certain way. So it's a critical component that, you know, the instructors that, you know, volunteer, or those guys that want to be a part of it, are thorough and understand the demographic that they're dealing with. You might not be able to show them, you know, about your AR yet. You're dealing with, you know, our demographic who might just need a basic understanding of basic pistol training, you know, and you got to start right there. So educators get it, you know, guys that are into firearms, women that are into firearms, that are educators, they get it totally, because you have a fresh mind that's willing to learn. And that's what's happening a lot in my experience. Fresh minds that want to learn something.
Yeah, and that's good. And you're there to help shape those fresh minds. And what I like most is that you can kind of meet them where they are. You know, I've been in sales. That's my full-time job. I'm a salesperson. I've been doing it a little over 30 years. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I found, one of the big keys to my success, is if I can establish like and trust with the client that I'm trying to sell to. And that's what you do there, is you establish the like and trust, because you can talk to them from their viewpoint, right?
Right. And see, that's the beauty of it. It almost, when you have, you know, because I've sold things, I'm an entrepreneur myself. However, sales actually isn't necessarily about selling. It's about understanding the person and them understanding you. I have a service or a product that I think honestly would be beneficial for what you have going on. The product that we're presenting, you know, to the demographic is, hey, you've had these rights that no one told you about, and this is extremely beneficial for you. Not just for me, I'm already exercising them. This is for you. You know, and since this is for you, let me give you a sample. Let me explain to you, when you come out to the class, when you get basic, you know, at least the four basic rules of firearm safety. Now you evaluate that and see if that's something that you're interested in. The truth of that, that sells itself. The truth of the fact that, you know, there is different handlings of different gun control or regulation or laws for, you know, highly populated urban areas. And that's not right. We are citizens, you know.
That's right.
So because of that, they put, you know, they weigh that on their own scale. And it don't even have to be nothing that I'm selling to them. It's something that I'm explaining to them. And because, you know, they respect the source, they understand where it's coming from. It's translated into a manner that they can understand while leaving room for them to grow into what they are going to grow into. It's a home run every time.
Yeah, it is. Well, so Maj, how did you get into firearms and Second Amendment rights?
Well, it was, you know, I've always had a passion for, you know, firearms. Maybe not long rifles, maybe not this, that, and the third, or the shooting sports or hunting at that time. But I've always been fascinated with the concept of a firearm. I remember seeing Desert Eagles and was like, this is the best looking thing ever to me. You know what I mean? Now,
yeah, they are.
As I get a little bit older and I start to see that, okay, I can't use a Desert Eagle for concealed carry. You know, you learn more and you grow. You know, but also dealing with, you know, certain ignorance in certain communities, a lot of them, you know, a lot of that ignorance is from the area that I'm from. And that ignorance stems from us not being that information deliberately. I'm going to really emphasize that information being deliberately not put in certain areas. So we don't complain about it. We just started to, you know, see these things repetitively. And then we said, okay, we have to do something to apply it. See, we're solutionaries. We don't revolve around the same problem and, you know, revolution. No, we see the problem. We figure out the solution. We apply it. We never want to talk about this problem again. That's what we are.
Yeah.
You know, so because of that, we saw that, you know, the demographic was being underserved. There's a need. There's a, you know, a demand. And the information is what we're supplying. And, you know, we're getting amazing, you know, results because of that. And it's not rocket science. It's American citizens taking control of their own protection, their own knowledge, their own defense. You know, the law enforcement community, you calling them if you got a cat in the tree, you calling them if you got a, you know, it's the same number for fire that it is for the police. They got too much going on. And I think that's another reason why, you know, the training has been lackluster. And I also think that's another reason why, you know, some of these homicides, you know, by law enforcement to citizens, American citizens, have been happening because you got officers doing too many things. Our personal defense for our homes and our families, I think we should be able to pick that up and start learning and handle that on our own.
Yeah. And what you just said leads me into the next question that I was going to ask you anyway. So do you think that the lack of firearms knowledge and the lack of firearms training in the urban areas, do you think that that's one of the reasons why there's so much violence?
Yes, because now you've criminalized everything. Now everyday citizens can't get the firearms. Now the young people that don't even have that information don't know that they can have the firearm legally. You're not putting them on the path of training and respect for the tool. You're putting them on the path of making it look like it has to be a back alley, dark, seedy thing. As opposed to going, this is something that's a part of your right. This could be a rite of passage for a young man, for a young woman, you know. So, you know, and that's just marketing. You're in sales. That's just how it's being marketed different. So, yes, absolutely, I know it has something to do with that. Because if it's a person that understands what this tool is and what this tool does, they create a different understanding. It's no different than training somebody to drive a car, you know, properly. They get that license. Even though I think some of the licensing for constitutional right is a little, you know, left field for me. But when they get a driver's license, they want to be a little bit more responsible because they've went through the process. They know they have the information. Now, obviously, driving is a privilege and your Second Amendment is a right, you know, so there's a difference there. But,
Right. You
know, the similarity in being this is someone that now you feel value when you understand the value of that. So when you ignore that. When you deliberately leave an entire segment of American citizens without that information, you're going to get anarchy and chaos. And that's what we're getting. And then now you're not even training, you know, law enforcement officers to handle them, that community the same properly. You're not training. All of this money in the budget is going into militarization, but it's not going into psychological evaluation, psychological, you know, training, cultural understanding. For the communities that we police, community policing. A lot of those resources can go that way. But if you're not even training law enforcement in those areas, like we do at Black Guns Matter, conflict resolution, de-escalation, teaching the citizens certain languages. And, hey, the reason why we want you to put your hands on the steering wheel is because of, you know, that person does not even know that. They don't know what a furtive movement is, you know. So the answer that is very clear to us at Black Guns Matter is education and training on both sides. And then you'd get some more community police improvement on relations, because that's necessary. We see the you know, the shootings, we see the murders, yeah. We see the riots, we see the rebellions, you know, and there, to me, the thing that's in between before it gets extreme on either side, to me, the answer in that process is education and training.
I agree. And what you just said the last couple minutes, you know, the pinhead politicians out there, they won't even go there.
Mm-hmm.
They won't even go there. I think it, just my opinion, you might want to weigh in on this, Maj, but I think it's by design. It's purposeful. They don't want the urban areas to get educated on firearms.
You don't, because one, you're not from that area, or you may not feel like you ever go over there. That's number one. Number two, we've been divided. Even the politicians that have grown up in America until their ages that they are now, they have been a victim of that same mass manipulation, as opposed to saying we're all citizens in America. Right. Black Americans,
yes.
White Americans, Asian Americans, Spanish Americans, all of these different things. They've been segmented and divided. And it's a very divisive divide and conquer mentality. And I think the reason why that happens is because then if people are more concerned about unity and as opposed to division, then you have to look at the overreach of the government. You have to look at the powers that be. You start to look at, wait, if we're all in the same boat, who put us here? You know, you have to start looking at that. But as long as you divided and scatterbrain, you're not paying attention to the person or the fact of the matter, which is the founding fathers created this place and this constitution based on a certain set of principles. Over decades and hundreds of years, there has been an active attempt to dissuade that, to make sure that the people are further and further away from that value system, because it's about control via government. We do not accept that. The government works for us. We do not work for the government. So
when
you have those politicians that are doing that, even if they're not paying attention to the longer scheme of it, and they're in the longer term, and the bills that they pass, and not them being misinformed and miseducated about the statistics, they've been used as puppets as well, whether they're aware of it or not. I believe some of them are aware, you know, but I think other ones just think, well, this is how it is, and this is unsafe, and this is X, Y, and Z. The stats show over and over again, areas that have more legally, you know, registered or education about firearms knowledge and safety have lower crime rates. If this more laws, less, you know, crime was true, Chicago would be the safest place on earth.
Yeah, but it's not.
It's not, you know, and whether it's racism, I do believe there's portions of race involved in that. Greed, because you turn that back door, you know, or ignorance of the fact that these are also your citizens, your constituency that you're supposed to serve, you know, though there's a few of those things that are involved in that, you know, and whatever anyone's intentions are, it's their intentions. Our intention is, at Black Guns Matter, to break that cycle by education, information, training, you know, on a holistic level.
Yeah, and I think it just seems to me that the purposeful divide and conquer not only has not served the urban communities well, but it's really caused a serious problem.
It's caused a serious problem, and you're going to continue to get riots and rebellions. Black people, brown people, Asian people, we are tired of being brutalized based on the incorrect viewpoint that we are not or citizens or second class citizens. The same type of person that built this country, the same type of George Washingtons and Thomas Jeffersons and Patrick Henrys and Malcolm X's and Dr. King's and Ida B. Wells, and these same type of American citizens are presently being deliberately shunned from expressing their constitutional rights, freedom of expression, freedom, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you know, freedom, right to bear arms. You know, we're at a space where they're conditioning us to think that these are just stuff that happens in history books. You're living that history book right now.
Yeah, that's true. So, Maj, why do the people in the inner cities continue to vote for the people that try to deny them these basic constitutional rights like the Second Amendment?
Well, I think one is it's just bad condition. Same thing, marketing.
Yeah.
You know, and to be perfectly honest, it's been both sides at different times that have voted in, you know, outside of Republican and
that's
Democrat,
true.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
So
yeah, you are correct about
that. The beauty of it, though, is it doesn't matter who's in office because the people, especially in local politics, the people have choices over that based on their financial decisions, based on supporting the businesses that support politicians that are, you know, opposite of what of constitutional principles, you know, boycotting. You know, being on top of, you know, just watching your what's going on at, you know, in your school districts, where's that budget going? You know, where's that money going towards? What's in the curriculum? We have to get people more politically active, especially, you know, in more areas as well as local city and state politics. That's another thing that there, you know, civics isn't really expressed in the urban communities. You know, spending is, you know, because they're trying to make good consumers, you know, but. You know, these are the things that are critical components. And, you know, it's because you don't even know that and you people vote out of condition, you know, or fear. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm scared this person's going to get in, so I'm going to vote for the other person. Or what's a better word? Instead of conditioning.
Emotion.
Or tradition. Tradition.
Tradition. Okay.
Well, my grandfather was a Republican. My grandfather was a Democrat. I'm going to be. You didn't even look at those candidates' policies. How have they voted on certain bills? How does that relate to your politics? You know, these are the things that strengthen and create good citizens to make good, you know, decisions based on their community. That is politics. But by keeping people unaware and just making them focus on the federal election where their popular vote does not choose the actual president, it keeps them, you know, only halfway in, or not even halfway, you know, a small percentage of way in the in the political process, you know. So these are all very, you know, serious things that we got to get, you know, we have to make people understand it. You know, it's your citizenship duty to be civically informed. You know the statutes in your neighborhood. You know your councilman, know your alderman. What is an alderman? What is, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You need to start at the basic level and just explain what it all, who they are.
Exactly. And then,
and what they do.
Right. And then show how you influence them. And if they want to continue to get that taxpayer check for their comfortable job in City Hall, the needs and wants and desires of the people are what they need to serve. And see, that's where we got to get back to. That's founding father principles. That's true power.
Yes, it is. So, Maj, how do you get this message out at Black Guns Matter? Are you conducting regular training classes, for example?
Yeah, on the 13 city tour, our schedule is a little bit different for Philadelphia because, you know, we're in different cities. But yes, we get this training and information out based on, you know, one, just getting people to come down to the classes. The classes are free. We'll be in Chicago October the 8th. The class is free. And it's about their local laws. You know, what is preemption? What is Castle Doctrine? What is may issue versus shall issue? These are things that people, you know, start to understand and they become more familiar. So we get that out that way. We get out a lot of it via our social media. You know, we link with, you know, different magazines, different, you know, I do a lot of press and we talk about these things. And also just, this might sound arrogant, but I'm not trying to sound that way. My presence and my face alone changes the scope of the perception of what someone's thought process of, you know, what a Second Amendment guy looks like. Oh,
sure.
You know
does.
What I mean? Oh, I can be a part of that too. Yeah, you can. And you don't have to be law enforcement. You don't have to have been in the military to understand firearm safety and training, you know? So all of these things are how we spread that message, you know, to that demographic that is honestly, that market has been wide open and just nobody had the heart or, you know, wanted to do it. And, you know, and we're filling that need.
And I think you're right. You know, once they see you and they see that you are like them, they realize, oh, yeah, this is not just for a certain type of person.
Right.
This is for everybody.
Right. That's what the whole, oh, the NRA is only for white people. That's stupid. But I understand it's been marketed that way. It's been marketed to make people, they're not going to look at the facts because the other side is going to hide the facts. You know what I mean? And so if you don't do that research, and if you've already submitted to the conditioning, there's no need for you to do the research. In your mind, you already know the answer, but that's not the answer. You know, so it's deliberate, and it makes it look like, oh, you know, it's only for 40, 50-year-old white guys with pot bellies and Confederate flags, and it's not true. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's a great image you just put out there. That's funny. But, you know, unfortunately, that is sometimes a stereotype that people have of NRA members.
Right, and that's the thing. We break stereotypes. I got tattoos, a beard, locks, long locks. I'm in the gym. You know, I advocate for other things I'm a well-rounded human being. You know what I mean? And that's where we have to make sure that we're doing our part, that we're not submitting to those false stereotypes. No different than I have friends that are white guys that have, you know, bald heads. And they all, oh, he must be a skinhead. No, I just don't like my hair. You know what I mean? And we have to,
yeah, exactly.
You know, we have to break those stereotypes. I don't want somebody to say, oh, he's the black guy, so he must, you know, he might be about to rob me or X, Y, and Z. That's a stereotype, and that's false. More than likely, if you're in a jam and you're not even paying attention to your six, I might actually be the person that's going to help you, you know? So we really got to, you know, break that stereotype based on our choices. And, you know, my position alone is a very critical one because it changes so many different, you know, minds, you know? And then even so, I've had certain 2A people say, man, I didn't know what to expect from you. You know, I thought you were going to just be like a angry dude that's like, oh, no, no, no. And I am angry, but not maybe for the reasons that you think I'm angry for. I'm angry, you know, non-stereotypically. I'm angry because American citizens all across the board are consistently being duped from either or both or the myriad of political affiliations.
True.
Because it's about the people. We have the power. I mean, that you know, that great document says it. We, the people. It doesn't say them, the government. That's not what it says.
You know, good point. Good point. Now, you realize, Maj, that just about everything that you're saying is the enemy of the anti-gun people, and the anti-gun people come from both sides of the aisle.
Yep. And that's what I mean when people say, well, what about this side and that side? Anti-gun people are not – they are very, you know, bipartisan with their attacks. They go nonpartisan, bipartisan. It doesn't matter. You know, and that's actually a good thing. You can be a Republican or an independent and be anti-gun. You can be a conservative and be, you know, whatever. That's the beauty of different thought, and there's nothing wrong with that. The difference is – we're on this side of the pro-gun side not going to attack somebody else's. I'm not forcing nobody. No, you got to have a gun. We need more pro-gun control. Like, that's not what we're doing. We're going, yo, I respect your right to not have one. Please respect mine to have some, you know. And we've just gotten away. These words, man, perspective, you know, choice, tolerance, understanding, growth, these aren't just words. These are perspectives and lifestyles. And we have to start making, you know, these politically, our perspective needs to be marred with not just stuff that we're saying on certain days or in certain locations. It has to be an active everyday practice. And that's not a hard thing to do. You just have to, you know, get in alignment with it and then just respect what other people's, you know, viewpoints are, just as you would want yours respected. You know, and that's the starting point. But that's why I would be upset. And again, that's not stereotypically. You know, some people would say, oh, well, it's Black Guns Matter. It's just like Black Lives Matter. And you guys are terrorists. And you're first of all, no, I don't even know who runs Black Lives Matter. I've never met anybody from that organization, number one. Number two, maybe the media is telling you that about Black Lives Matter to get you away from thinking about the fact that there's your brothers and sisters, American citizens, that are not being treated properly. So they make it look like it's about one other thing when maybe it isn't. Did you take a moment or did you just pull a pull quote and just, you know, chew that? You know, we got to get back to critical thinking and being objective. And those are the reasons why I would be upset. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I have one last question I want to ask you, and then we need to wrap it up, and I always like to give my guests the last word. But my question is, my last question is, what is the biggest obstacle that you're facing at Black Guns Matter in getting the word out?
Fear and conditioning. The fear that, you know, on whatever level. Some people's fear is, oh, they're just going to be mad and angry and get their guns in, and that's not the case. The fear that even if you think exactly like I think, you won't be received well by the people that you're around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's definitely a prejudice. You know, prejudice is an emotional commitment to staying wrong, you know, which is still a fear. You know, so fear is the biggest obstacle. When we get people past those, even if it's just a new person that is afraid of a 22, you know, caliber, you know, it's like, I understand you're afraid, but I'm going to walk you through this process.
Yeah.
You know, and so the biggest obstacle is fear. Once we get past the fear, it's a cakewalk, you know. So that's presently the biggest fear. And that can come from, you know, any side, conditioning, anti-gun, you know, victims of their own, you know, of outside influence and conditioning. But it still boils down to fear. And people should not be afraid of us. At Black Guns Matter, we actually are here to help, assist, and serve the community.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Maj, I give you the last word for a couple minutes. Whatever else you want to tell my listeners about Black Guns Matter and about your 13-city tour, go.
Okay. Well, you know, Black Guns Matter, we are fully funded by the people through, you know, T-shirt sales, hoodie sales, our GoFundMe page. Our GoFundMe is GoFundMe.com/Black Guns Matter. If you'd like to support with a T-shirt or a hoodie, that is BlackGunsMatter.BigCartel.com. My social media, you know, is Black Guns Matter on Twitter, but my personal one is @MajToure, MajToure. It's all one word. That's Twitter and Instagram. Same thing on Facebook, MajToure. That's my first and last name. If anyone that's listening to me wants to communicate, if you want to talk about how awesome the Eagles are doing this season, if you want to, you know what I mean? Whatever. You got some mental issues you're going through, hit me up anytime. If it's firearms question, even if I'm not in your state, reach out to me. I'll try to link you with somebody. I will find you the information, but I'll also try to link you with people in your, you know, in your region. But we gotta stay informed. We gotta stay sharp, and we gotta be holistic. We gotta have, you know, start to live more of a solutionary lifestyle. So again, everybody hit me up. Yeah, I don't care what time of day it is. Questions, concerns, comments, perspective, hit me up. Support if you can and if you choose to. We're here, and we're here for the people.
Well, Maj, I really am very impressed with what you're doing. I'm glad we had a chance to finally connect. I think that what you're doing is just it's honorable, it's noble. You're brave. I got to say that. You're very brave in what you're doing. Keep doing it. I wish you all the best of success. I want to have you come back and do a part two, maybe after you get a chance to, you know, go to a couple more cities and maybe bring some feedback as to what's happening and come back on my show. How's that?
Absolutely. I'm totally with it. Whenever you need me, I'm here.
Maj, thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Peace.
Well, that's all, folks. Please remember to use my Amazon store link if you purchase things on Amazon. You can support the Handgun World podcast without having to spend any extra money. Just make your Amazon purchases through my Amazon store. You can find it at handgunworld.com, handgunworld.com. Don't forget about the training classes. Ben Branham and I are going to start 2017 in San Antonio in January, Dallas in April, Utah in May, Washington, possibly, don't have that one nailed down yet, in July, and in August, two classes, one with Paul Carlson in Ohio, we're teaching with Paul Carlson, and then we're going to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Paul Lathrop from the Polite Society podcast is our host there. We've been there before. We're going to repeat that class. I'm trying to work out a class in Kansas. So we're going to be all over the place in 2017. Right now, you can go to handgunworld.com, or if you want a discount, you can go to the Self Defense Radio Network. page, Self Defense Radio Network. That's selfdefenseradio.net, selfdefenseradio.net. There's a listener discount page, and you can save $25 off of the classes. Just put in the password SDRN. SDRN is the password. Go to selfdefenseradio.net, click the listener discount pages, and you can also get an SDRN discount if you want to sign up for our Shooters Club. So don't forget to sign up for our Shooters Club as well. And my voicemail number is 210-646-1727. 210-646-1727. I'd like to close a little differently. I'd like to put out an invitation to all of you. The invitation I'd like to put out is, tell me about the guns that you have been purchasing and shooting lately. Anything new? How about something new? Most of you know I recently acquired a Sig Sauer P229 Legion. And boy, do I like that gun. The Sig 229 Legion series. Really, really like it. And, of course, I've been constantly making some cool little modifications to my Glock 19s, and I'll be talking about that coming up. What about you? What kind of new guns have you acquired and been shooting? Love to hear some gun reviews. If you want to call into the voicemail and leave a 3-minute gun review, that would be really cool. 210-646-1727, and I'll put you on the Handgun World podcast with your gun review. With all that said, I'm Bob Main. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Handgun World podcast. Remember, the loudest sound a shooter hears is a bang when he's only expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. Remember, evil does not exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men and women. Read your Bible every day and shoot straight and shoot safe. I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.